61A1.
61A1. Hey, how did you know?
It's right here.
Yeah, but...
We're at the beginning. Yeah, we're...
No.
10 lines from the top or something.
No, we're... Okay. We're on Samach Aleph Amid Aleph.
61B1? 61A1.
Okay, now, the Mishnah was discussing, okay, the last thing we learned, he wants her to nurse, and she doesn't want to nurse, and she wants to nurse, he doesn't want her to nurse. Okay, that whole thing. So now the Gemara is like, Dechnisa La Shivcha. We're like 20 lines from the top. 18 lines from the top.
In the first column.
Second column. Hechnisa la shivcha. The Mishnah said it then like this. There's 7 jobs that the wife has to do for the husband. Okay? That's what the Mishnah mentioned all 7. Okay? It's gonna be coming up anyway again. Okay. It says, the Mishnah said before like this. On Nun Testament base. There's 7 jobs that a married woman has to do for her husband. She has to grind the flour, bake, do the clothes and laundry, cook, nurses the child, makes the bed, and works with wool. Okay, that's what the Mishnah said, the 7 jobs a wife has to do to the husband. Then the Mishnah said like this, Echnisa le'shivcha achas. I'm just quoting back from the Mishnah. What happens is she comes from a wealthy family, and she came into the marriage with 1 maidservant. So, the Mishnah says she doesn't have to grind, bake, or do laundry. If she brings in 2 maidservants, she doesn't have to cook, she doesn't have to nurse the child. She brings in 3 maidservants, she doesn't have to make the bed, and she doesn't have to do in wool. Okay? If she brings in 4 maidservants, so the Mishnah says she sits in an easy chair and does nothing the whole day. Looks at her nails. Okay? Then the Merbalazar says, no, but not doing work makes him a sugar, so therefore we make her do work. Okay? So now, the Gemara is going to analyze the in the next few pieces, the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. It says, if she brings in 1 maidservant, she cuts off 3 of the jobs. She doesn't have to grind, bake, or cook, or do laundry. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. That means 4 jobs she still has to do. Right, there's 7 originally. So now the Mishnah says, if she brings in 1 maidservant, she cuts out the 3. Right? So Gemara's going to ask, 1 minute. Why can't she tell the husband, just like I would do all 7, let the maidservant do all 7. If I would be your wife without a maidservant, I would do all 7 jobs. So now that I'm bringing in a maidservant, why can't she do all the jobs? That's what Gemara's asking over here. So now the Gemara says like this, Echnisa le'shivcha, if she brings in 1 shivcha, so then she doesn't have to grind, bake, or do laundry. So the Gemara said, but Shara Avda, the rest of the other 3, the other 4 choices she does, Betei Malay, why can't she say to the husband, I l'loch itze b'chadikoi, I brought you another woman instead of me. So just like, I would be doing 7, why can't this girl do all 7? So he said, Mishum da Malay, because he says like this, okay, she's gonna work for me and you. But he's gonna say like this. The husband could say, okay, well, if you would be working for me, there'll be 2 people to deal with. Me and you. Right? Now that I'm gonna bring in a maidservant, you're bringing in a maidservant, there's 3 people to work for. So 1 woman can't do 7 jobs for 3 people. She can only do it for 2 people. So he says, who's going to work for you? Okay? Meaning, 1 woman can do chores, 2 chores for 7 people. I'm sorry.
7
chores for 2 people. 7 chores for 2 people. But not for 3 people. So the woman says, okay, listen, I brought in a maidservant, so let it be instead of me. And just like I would have to do 7, let her do all 7, I don't have to do anything. So he says, no, but now there's 3 people to take care of. Okay, then the same thing is, Shtayim, if she brings in two maidservants, so she cuts out more jobs. What does she not do? Einem evesheles, veine shemenika, she doesn't have to cook, she doesn't have to nurse the child. But the other two she does have to do. Okay? That means she's, the two maidservants free her from five jobs. But the other two, why can't she say to the husband, I loch itza achrite, the tarach ledidi uledida, v'chada ledidach uledida. And okay, I brought you one woman that works for me and you, and one woman that works for herself. So why can't I have it covered with two women? Why do I have to do anything? Because the husband can tell her, kami urchu parcha man tarach. Okay, so now we got two women, can handle three people, but who's going to deal with all the guests that come? Guests that come from, and also, guests that stay for a long time, there Rashi says a week or a month, some guests just come in, passerbys, who's going to take care of them? It's very interesting though, what the Gemara is going. The wife would have to do all this, but the maidservant couldn't do it, because there's other people to take care of. Okay. So now the Gemara says like this, Shloisha, if she brings in three maidservants, she doesn't even have to make the bed or work with wool. So Gemara says, Ashada avda, but the rest of the chores she has to do, meaning she still has to do, like she can't just sit in an easy chair. She can has to do minor things for the husband. So the Gemara says, okay, now we could say, listen, I brought in a third maidservant. She could take care of the guests. The other two take care of you and me. Why do I have to do anything? So he says like this, Mishum da Amalei, he says to her like this, Nafish b'nei beisa, when the members of the household are men-me, then Nafish urcha parche, permanent guests, long-term guests, and temporary guests are also more. He said like this, the more people you have in the house, you know, the kids bring home this guy and that guy, and this woman brings home this person. So he said, the guests are more. So you need more. So Gemara says, if so, I feel arba nami. So why does the Mishnah say if you bring in four maidservants, the woman can sit in an easy chair and do nothing, right? So l'chayda, then there's even more people. So Gemara says, arba, listen to this, when there are four maidservants, kiven de nefishale, because there are many, meaning there's four maidservants, Messiah hadadi, they help one another. Meaning, four maidservants is not three plus one. Four maidservants can take care of the two of them with the seven chores. They can take care of the guests. They can take care of minor tasks, additional guests. They can take care of everything.
So what's she going to do?
Nothing.
Chocolates and watch TV. Hmm? Chocolates and watch TV.
She can go to the hairdresser and to the nail salon.
Kid did it all day, you know?
You'd be surprised. Okay. So now, the Gemara is going back to what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, if she brings in these maidservants, so the Gemara is going to say, it doesn't mean actually literally bringing in the maidservants. If she comes from a family that could afford those maidservants, she also doesn't have to work. Remember, we learned before in the Gemara, the woman goes up with the husband in wealth, not down. So the Gemara is going to still see it and says, Amar Abchana, Rabbi Chana said, V'yisem Rabbi Shmo ben Achmeni, some people say Shmo ben Achmeni, Le'yechnisa le'mamish. When the Mishnah says, the woman brings in maidservant, she gets exempt from the different jobs, it doesn't mean you actually bring it in. Elakivin shuru'uya l'hachnis, meaning, she brings in enough money into the marriage that could afford those things. She doesn't have to do it, even though she didn't actually bring in the maidservants.
Well, if she brings the four maidservants, you know she's got money. You know?
Right. But it says, Rashi says, because let her spend that money on maidservants. But somebody shame him say, no, that's not what it means. According to Rashi, it means if there's money that she brings in, okay, So that's in, even if she doesn't actually bring in the maidservants. Rashi learns it means she brings in money, so the money can go for maidservants. Most of the Shanim disagree with Rashi, and they say what it means is the fact that she's accustomed to wealth frees her from doing those chores. Even if she doesn't actually have a maidservant, it's the husband's problem to hire somebody to do those jobs. If she comes from a family that didn't do these menial jobs, she doesn't have to do them. That's why it doesn't pay to marry a rich girl in the time of the Gemara. Because he ended up costing the husband more money because he would have to spend money on all the maidservants that the woman doesn't have to bring in just because she was accustomed to a lot of wealth. See, Rashi learns the Gemara. The Gemara said if she doesn't bring in maidservants, so Rashi said, okay, she doesn't bring in physical people, but she brings in money, so the money could go for the maidservants. That's the way Rashi learned. Most of the Rishonim say, no, that's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara means, even if she doesn't bring in money, she doesn't even bring in maidservants, but she comes from a family that has money, and she's not accustomed to doing these jobs, she doesn't have to do them. Okay, and so it's Takir says in the Braisa, it says in the Braisa to clarify the Mishnah, Echad Shechnisolei, whether she actually brings in the maidservants, frees the wife from various jobs, or Echad Shechnisolei Mishalei, or whether she scrimped for him from her own money to buy maidservants. Meaning, what happens if her husband gives her perfume money? The husband has to give her perfume money. Or other spending money? If she took off some of the money from perfume and saved it, and took off money from food and saved it, then she could buy a maidservant and get out of the job of doing the chores. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. What happens if she brings four maidservants? So the Mishnah, not Rabbi Lezer, the Chumim hold, she doesn't have to do anything. She sits in the lazy chair and does nothing. That's what the Mishnah said. So Rabbi Lazar, by the way, argued on that. And Rabbi Lazar says, you can't do that, because batala mevi l'dezima, it brings it to lewdness, and therefore you have to do menial jobs. But the Gemara Taka says here anyway that she has to do jobs. Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Chanina, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Yitzchak ben Chanina said the name of Rav Huna. Even though the Mishnah Chachamim hold, Yeshev is Bekatedra, she sits in this easy chair, she doesn't have to do anything, meaning she still has to do things for the husband. What does she have to do? Meizegis case, she should mix. The wine in the time of the Gemara was undrinkable. We learned this many times. There's an expression always in the Agoda, Meizgen leikos. So in English, it translates as pouring, but it's not true. What they used to do in the time of the Gemara, they used to dilute it with water. The wine, not the grape juice, the wine was so thick and heavy, you couldn't drink, it was poison, that they diluted it with water. So that job the woman still had to do, umatzas le'mita, and make his bed, meaning not making the bed like years ago, that they had straw, you actually physically had the, it means putting the covers on the bed to beautify the bed. And she could wash her hands, feet, and face, hands and feet. What's that says, why does she still have to do these things? So the Mefarshim explain, Rashi says, because they want her to do romantic things. These are romantic things. Making his bed, getting him water to bathe, getting a drink of wine for him. That's all romantic stuff that the woman is supposed to do for the husband anyway. Just to keep the marriage going. Okay, now the Gemara is talking about, the Gemara is going to go off and now to the dinim of nida. When a woman's a nida, what you're allowed to do, what you have to do. Okay? So we learned already in other places that when a woman's a nida, you're not allowed to do romantic things with her, because it will come to be intimate, which is forbidden. So Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Chanina, Amar Rav Huna, same person said, all the seven jobs that a woman has to do for her husband, Nida Eisel Abayla. The Nida, when she's a Nida, also has to do them. All the seven things that they baking and cooking and the laundry and all that. She has to do all that. Except, Mimzigas Hakos, mixing the wine for him because that's too romantic. Atzar Samita, making the bed. Or, Hachatzis Panav Yadav Raglav, for her, bringing washing hands and face. It doesn't mean, by the way, her literally washing her hands, because you're not allowed to touch anyway when she's Nida. So therefore it means she pours the water, like in English it would be called drawing the bath. She wouldn't be allowed to draw the bath for the husband, because it's too romantic. In fact, there's an interesting shaila in Halacha, if while a woman is a Nida, can she get negel vaser for the husband? Because the Gemara says you can't do things of washing the hands, face, and feet. So can a woman who's Nida get the negel vaser for her husband? And the paskin that you could, because that's a washing of a mitzvah, it's not washing of pleasure. And because it's washing for a mitzvah, it doesn't matter. And then the Gemara says like this, Vatzor Samita, even this din, that the woman who's Nida cannot make her bed for the husband, Amar Rav says, Le'amor and Ela Bafanav. That's only if the husband's in the room. Then she can't make the bed. Avo Shle Bafanav. But if the husband's not in the room, the husband's in a different room or he's not home, less number she can even make the bed. In other words, Gemara says, certain things she can do if the husband's not there because then it's not so romantic. It's only when it's in front of his face it's romantic and therefore you can't do it. But otherwise it's okay. And now the Gemara says like this. Mezigas HaKos, the Mishnah spoke before about pouring wine, you know, for the husband. So the Gemara tells us a few things that Chachamim of the Gemara did when the wife was in Nida. It says like this. Shmuel Mechafalei Dvisa Bida Desmola. Shmuel's wife would switch it and do it with her left hand. Meaning, instead of doing it with the right hand, she would do it in an unusual way with the left hand. So then the change itself would remind them. Abaya Manchali Apume de Kuva. Abaya's wife would place the cup for him on the mouth of the jug. Okay? Meaning like this. What did Abaya's wife do? She would put it down in a different place than she would normally put it down.
Why is that?
One second, thank you. Rava Abi Sidra, the wife of Rava, would put the cup on a pillow. That Papa Asher Shifa, that Papa's wife would put the cup on a stool. In other words, this is all to remind the couple that she's a Nida. So by putting the drink in a different place than always, that itself would remind them they're in need and she shouldn't come to do anything wrong. So the Gemara just tells that the Chachamim, it's not that their wives didn't do it for them, they did it for them, but they actually changed it. Yeah. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Now this is very interesting Gemara about waiters. Of being nice to... Good morning.
Haven't moved yet.
Yeah, he wants to know when we're moving.
What?
We haven't moved yet.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, now the Gemara says like this. It's a very interesting thing. Today's going to sound very wacky about people's cravings for food. You know, in Shulchan Aruch it says, if a pregnant woman, on Yom Kippur, has a craving for food, that if she doesn't get it, she can, God forbid, miscarry and all that stuff. So it says you're allowed to feed it to her on Yom Kippur. Because it could be life endangering. I don't know, today, the people have cravings, but I wouldn't categorize them today as cravings for food that if you don't get it, your mom is going to die. And the Gemara is going to talk about this now with waiters of serving food, what you have to give the waiter to eat. It's a very interesting Gemara. Okay, so Gemara says like this. Amar Yisro Bachanani Amar Avunas. Again, the same person. That's where they quote these teachings. Hakel Mashim B'Pnei HaShamash. All foods are allowed to linger in the presence of the waiter until after the meal. Meaning, you don't have to give it to him until after the meal. You don't have to give it to him before the meal or during the meal. Chutz Mibasev V'Yayin. Only meat and wine, you have to give him right away. Meaning, if wine and meat is served at the meal, you must give the waiter some wine and some meat right away during the meal. All other foods, you can tell the waiter, wait, after the meal, you can eat the food. You know, the leftovers, whatever. Well, not wine and meat. Why? So the answer is, because you can have a craving for the food. Wine and meat. I was going to say what type of wine and meat. But the Gemara is saying now, people, even men, by the way, they have cravings for certain foods at certain times. And if you didn't give it to them, in Halacha it's called bulmus. Bulmus is an illness. I think it translates, one second. A life and threatened disease induced by hunger, whose symptoms include weakening of one's vision. In Shchunach Nochzim Kippur also. Says a person's hungry, when can you give him to eat? What's it called? Life endangering situation, Yom Kippur? When he's getting bulmus. So the Rebbe also says, what is bulmus? That is, he already can't see. He's so hungry, so dehydrated, that he can't see. That's called danger, and you can give him to eat on Yom Kippur. But the Gemara says like this. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Chanina Amar Rav Huna said that you can always not give the waiter food unless if it's wine and meat. But Amar Rav Chista, 1 minute. Basar Shamein V'Yayin Yashin. Only fatty meat and aged wine, because they have a good aroma. And then the waiter is going to smell the food while he's serving it, and that's going to cause the craving. But if it's regular wine and meat, then it doesn't apply.
So this means you have to feed them at the beginning of when they're at the beginning of their serving.
Right. You have to give it to them. The Gemara is going to discuss now various different opinions, what they did before, during, or after. But one thing is, this Rav Yitzchak Bar Chanina Amar Rav Huna says that wine and meat, if the waiter has a craving, you have to give it to him right away. So Rav says, no, only old wine and old meat. So Amar Rav, no, Rav differentiates. Basar Shamein, fatty meat, a whole year you have to give him. Yayin Yoshan, if it's old wine, that's only in the summer season, in Tammuz. Why? Because it says the aroma of the wine is strong, and the seasonal heat of Tammuz, which is the summer, gets his craving stronger. So in other words, wine smells stronger in Tammuz, therefore the craving is stronger, and therefore old wine you only have to give him in Tammuz. But meat, you have to give him a whole year. Okay? So now the Gemara says like this. Amar Ravanan Bar Tachlifa. Ravanan Bar Tachlifa said the following. Have a kamina kamida mashmul. I was once standing before Shmuel, and Aisala Tavshul the Arda. They brought him a mushroom dish. Okay? So Rav Anan Bar Tachlifa was saying this then. He says like this. I was once a waiter in the presence of Mar Shmuel, and they brought him this mushroom dish. The Elav the Yoivli, if they didn't give me to eat from the dish, is Takina would have been endangered from the craving. He says, I developed such a craving for the food, I was going to get bulmus. This illness called bulmus.
Does Tzaddikim feel this way?
It's very funny. That's what I'm saying. Ravana Bar Tachlifa was an Amir of the Gemara. And you're going to see, 1 second. Look, Rav Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Ravashi was the one that wrote the Gemara. He says, I have a kamina kamed Rav Kahana. I was once standing in front of Rav Kahana. They brought him turnip heads in vinegar. Meaning Rashi is sliced into round thin pieces in vinegar. The ilav the yoivliv, they wouldn't have given me to eat from it, Ravashi says. Istakina would have been endangered because of the craving. The Papa Ahmad, the Papa said, Afilu tamarta di hinunisa. Even a fatty date, you know, the real good fatty dates they used to have, can also endanger somebody's life if you're withholding it from him.
I'm surprised.
The question is, you know, how does this get to Ravashi and that stuff?
Right. So I think...
The explanation, what?
I think because he otherwise wouldn't have it, just like because he's getting his credit, because he's able to elevate something there in that.
Oh, something, there's a pasuk in Tillim that we say Friday night before Mincha, Heidon, Pasuk Leo. So in chapter 107 of Tillim, there's a pasuk that says like this, Re'evim gam tzmeim, they're hungry, they're thirsty, Nafshem v'em tesatav, the soul is clothed within them. So the Friedrich Rebbe says in a Maimer, what does it mean? He says, Re'evim gam tzmeim, why is a person hungry? Why is a person thirsty? Because the soul is in the person that needs to elevate that food. Now, why did Hashem make that we're hungry? Yeah, eating is a pretty powerful thing. Why did Hashem make that we're hungry? Because if not, we wouldn't eat, right? If you're not hungry, you're not going to eat. So all that food that we could elevate, we wouldn't elevate. So Hashem makes us hungry, makes us thirsty, but really, it's for the soul to elevate the food. So, again, Ravashi was such a great tzaddik. Trust me, he didn't have these cravings that he couldn't control himself in the... in a spiritual sense, he had to elevate that food, and that was it. You have to elevate it.
I see Chol to run away.
Do you have it or no?
Probably, you can't blame us for eating it.
When?
Five cholins and Shabbos.
I don't blame you.
I'm definitely not big to chitter.
Okay, so now the Gemara says the common denominator of all these things he mentioned. So Gemara says, Klola de Milsa. What's the general rule of all this? Kol yisrei reicha, anything that has a good aroma, or yisrei kiu has a pungency taste that can harm a person when others are eating it in front of them. Another part of the craving is not only the food. Other people is what the Gemara is saying now. When other people are eating the food and you can't eat it, that's when the cravings are. So he says that the bottom, in other words, the Gemara is saying very simply, it's not Kabbalah. It's very simple. Anytime there's people eating a food, and somebody has, it's, the food has a good smell or a good taste, and you can create a craving from it, you have to give it to the person. But the Gemara is going to discuss before you, after you, together with you. Okay? But the first opinion of the Gemara said that besides wine and meat, you can give it to the waiter at the end of the meal. Okay? Now the Gemara says like this. Avua bar I, there are two people, brothers. Avua, the son of I, and Minyamin bar Ihi. Okay? Yeah? There's the two brothers, obviously. Chat safa mikol mina umina. One of the brothers gave the waiter every food they were served. They gave a taste to the waiter. The chad, and the other brother only gave the waiter one of the foods. Let's say it was a five-course meal, so the first brother gave the waiter five dishes, and the other brother gave him one dish. So Mar says like this, one of them, one of the brothers that gave the waiter every course to eat, Eliyahu Navi came and appeared to him. Vomar, and the other one, that only gave the waiter one food, like Mishtoy Eliyahu Badei, Eliyahu Navi didn't come to him. So the Mefarshim explain why. Because Eliyahu Navi only comes to people with great piety, not only learning, great behavior, Bein Adam L'Chaveri. So this person that went above and beyond the letter of the law, and he gave the waiter to eat from each course, he was worthy that Eliyahu Navi came to him. And the other brother that only gave one dish to the waiter didn't merit to have Eliyahu coming to them.
In Rebbe's case, he wouldn't even have his food before they sat down the waiters to eat.
Yeah, but that's the din shchuna, by the way.
I mean, it's not... Who showed up?
Eliyahu Navi.
Who would he talk to? The waiter? Or the guy?
No, the rabbi that gave the waiter to taste him each course, to that rabbi, Eliyahu Navi appeared.
Okay.
This is before you eat. Is this
we're going to see that now. 1 second. That's what the Gemara is going to say now. Hani Tarti Chasida. There are two pious men. Some people say it was Rav Mori and Rav Pinchas, the children of Rav Chista. Mar Kodim Safer. One fed the waiter from each and every course before he sat down. Before the waiter served him and the guests, he gave the waiter to eat. Omar ma'achas safer, and one gave the waiter after the waiter served. In other words, the two, well, according to one opinion, there are two brothers, Rav Mari and Rav Pinchas, the sons of Rav Chista, or two pious Jews. One gave the waiter to eat from every course before the waiter started working. And the other one gave it after the waiter served. So again, the Gemara said an interesting thing. The Kodim, the one that gave the waiter to eat before the waiter worked, Saf Eliyahu Mishtabayday. Eliyahu Navi came to talk to him and learn. Ma'acher Safi, La Mishtali Obaday. The one that gave after the waiter served, Eliyahu Navi didn't come. Okay, so Rashi says why. Now, he's going to get the food anyway. But when there's a lot of guests, and the waiter is serving, let's say, 15, 20 people, his craving gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it explodes. Sure. But if you feed him before, he's full, he's satisfied, so he's not going to have cravings.
What if you give to animals before they go on the field, why not the waiters? We feed the animals before we take them out to...
Because the waiters are not animals.
Well, we have no question about the pets get fed first. What's the question?
But the waiter's not a pet.
Let
me ask you a question. If you have guests... 1 second. If you have guests, you have to give them before yourself? No. Logically not. Right? Generally speaking... You have a Shabbos table. You have 5 guests, 10 guests, yeah? First you serve the host, yeah? And then you serve everybody else. And halachic etiquette is that the host doesn't begin eating until everybody is served, right? And for Shalom Bayis, until your wife comes back to the table. Right? That's the way it's supposed to be. But that doesn't mean that you have to... But here the Gemara says, one of these Amiroyim gave the waiter after they finished eating. You know, everybody finishes, and then the waiter sat down and ate. And the other one was afraid that the craving would get too strong, so he gave him before, just to satisfy him.
Makes sense. Isn't this the same thing?
No, but you know what the Gemara is saying? It's seemingly simple decency, but the Gemara says he merited Eliyahu Navi to come to him. I mean, that's a pretty powerful reward, the common decency. I mean, he was going to give him before or after. What's the difference? But because he didn't want the guy's craving to get out of hand, so he fed him before. But, you know, I'm saying a remarkable thing. You have a little bit common courtesy, decency to somebody else. Eliyahu Navi comes to you.
And we feed the animal in us in the morning.
Right. So I was saying, it sounds to me that that's the reasoning behind maybe eating before we daven. We say Shema, we say our brothers. We have a cup of coffee and then we go daven probably because to satisfy
the animal in us.
The animal in us, perhaps? Is that the idea?
The waiter in us.
The waiter in us, yeah. So that way we're not like rushing through davening.
Not the animal. That's what the Tzemach Tzedek told his daughter-in-law. it's better to eat in order to daven than to daven in order to eat. No, I tell guys, I mean, I don't want to cool off the, you know, some people don't make kiddush between 6 and 7, yeah? So what happens? You're in shul already. The whole Ma'ariv, you're thinking, okay, am I going to make it before 6? Am I going to make it before 6? So you're not even thinking about Ma'ariv. All of a sudden, you're thinking about making kiddush before 6. And then you say, okay, hurry up, let's go. Don't you think it would be better to daven properly and make kiddush between 6 and 7?
Right. I mean, just, seven.
If you ask a shaylin alocha, 6 and 7. Some people have a custom not to make it. You know
what is the rationale behind that?
Okay, it has to do with the mazolus, the constellation. Not for now. But I'm saying, you know, you people that need to, like you're saying about the cravings with the coffee. People need to do things the right way, not do things. Okay, let's go. You know,
or come late to show. And then
nobody ever comes late to any show.
Someone that would come
I've never seen show. Anybody come late to any show. Never.
But or come late and leave exactly early. You know,
I've never seen that. I've never seen people come late and leave early either. Every Jew comes on time and they leave on time. They never come late to class. Never.
They come on their own time and they leave on their own time, like Oprah. Their own truth.
Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Gemara tells another interesting story with what happened over here. Amemer Mazut and Avashi, these three Amiroim. Amemer Mazut and Avashi have a kiyosa pitzcha de be Izgur Malka. There was a king Izgur. It was one who says a Persian king, Rashi says. In the olden days, there was a Persian king called Izgur. He was in the time of the Gemara. Okay? Huh?
Nice if he knows it.
I haven't met him yet.
Well, unless you're as old as Ravashi is. Cholev Azul Aturagna the Malka. Listen to this. These three rabbis were sitting there, and the king's steward, the servant, carried a tray walking by them with the king's food on it. Okay? Chazir Ravashi le Marzutra. Ravashi looked at Marzutra's face. And he said the chaver api became very pale. Why did he become pale? They brought the king's food and the tray in front of them, walking, you know, just past them to the king. And Mazuta had a craving and he turned pale. So what did Ravashi do? Ravashi knew it can come to danger, right? We just learned the cravings can bring it to danger. Shokol as Boesei. So Ravashi stuck his finger into the king's tray of food and took out some food. Okay, we're on the base now. And he put it into the mouth of Marzutra. Okay? So basically, can you imagine a picture? There's a king's steward going with a plate of food. Okay? And these three rabbis are sitting there. And Ravashi sees the way Marzutra turns white. So he had a craving. So he stuck his finger into the king's food and gave it to Marzut. So what happened?
Did the king know?
No, Amalei, but the steward, the servant said, of the king said to Ravashi, Afsadet l'sozat malka. You ruined the king's meal. He's not going to eat the food that you stuck your finger into. You know, kings were very meticulous.
Particular.
Particular, whatever. Amalei. So the palace police, Rashi says, said to Ravashi, Amai Tavid Hachi, why did you do this? I mean, this is like disrespectful to the king. You stuck your finger into the king's not going to eat from the food now. What did you do it? Amalo, so listen to this. Ravashi said to him, Man the Avid Hachi, Pasul Amai Chodamalka. Whoever prepares food like this for the king should be fired. He disqualifies the king's food. Amalei said, please set the mamai. Why? What's wrong with the food? So Ravashi said to him, Davar Acher Chazoi Boy. I saw pig's meat that had leprosy on it. Batku, so they, Ravashi said a statement, they obviously, they checked the food, Balei Ashkechu. They didn't find any meat with leprosy on it. Shakal, so what happened? So they're saying, so like, to Rav Ashi, basically, what are you talking about? It's not true. So what did he do? Shakal as ba'oisei, Rav Ashi took the chef's finger and put it anach alayhu, and he put it on one particular plate, a piece of meat. In other words, the tray had a whole bunch of pieces of meat, right? Mm-hmm. So he took his finger, ate it, whatever it was, and then Rav Ashi said, who made this food for the king? He shouldn't be making food for the king like this. So they said, why not? He said, because it's pig's meat with leprosy on it. They said, what are you talking about? They searched, and there was no leprosy. So Rav Ashi took the chef's finger, and took it, and touched the piece of meat, and he said to them, Hachami bat kisu, did you check this piece of meat? What happened? Batku, Ashkechu, they found leprosy in the meat. In that meat, the Rav Ashi took the guy's finger and touched the meat. Okay, so therefore, the story is finished. But Amalei Rabbanan. Huh? No, listen. Amalei Rabbanan. So the Chachamim later said to Rav Ashi, what did you do over here? You know, this is, you could have gotten killed.
Yeah, well, he gave the rabbi tray of meat.
Yeah.
First of all,
his finger in his mouth,
first of all, it was pikuach nefesh. If the guy was dying, I mean, if you're craving, you can give. Okay, he said, "My time as samachta nisa." He said to Rav Ashi, "Why did you rely on a miracle? What you did? I mean, come on, this was a miracle story. You don't stick your finger in the king's food, and you know what? And then you said it's leprosy. Like you he said, "Amalu." He said to them, "I'll tell you the truth. Chazoi ruach tsaras." The Kapar Chaloi. I saw a spirit of leprosy on Marzutra. Meaning like this. Why did I rely on the miracle? Because when I looked at Marzutra, I saw a sign from heaven of leprosy. And I understood there has to be leprosy in the meat. Hashem is showing me. That's why I relied on it. Because Hashem is showing me, by me seeing Marzutra with leprosy, not that he had leprosy, but he saw leprosy upon Marzutra, so he took it that I should claim his vote. That the meat of leprosy. Very interesting story, by the way. Huh?
Yeah. It's, not only gave him Marzutra non-kosher food, he gave him leprous food also.
No, by the way, that's not halachic issue. No. 1 second.
He was white. He was actually about to die, right? I mean, if he didn't get that, that was just like a...
Okay, so before, the Gemara, the Mashal brings down, he brings down at the bottom here, how did Rav Ashi give him tray for meat? So he says, like, first of all, the answer is simply, if you turn pale and bulmus is a light, you can eat on Yom Kippur, you can give tray. But the Mashal says like this, it says he put the food in his mouth, meaning Rav Ashi had Marzut to taste the non-kosher food, but did not actually swallow it, thereby minimizing the transgression. Okay? Rav Ashi calculated tasting was permitted, because he wasn't swallowing it. The issur of treif meat is swallowing it.
How about the amount? It has to be less than a percent.
Yeah, but it's still awesome in a treif. But I don't understand, if you take the Gemara simply, it was partial danger. And he gave him the food. But nevertheless, why would Marzutra eat treif? You know, in the whole story.
Yeah.
So the answer is, he didn't eat it. He gave it to him to taste. Well, I'll give you an example. Leather from a non-kosher animal is treif, correct? Mm-hmm. Can you chew on leather?
Yeah, I guess so.
You have a leather keychain, yeah?
Yeah, you can.
People suck on it, chew on, why? Yeah. You're not eating it. You're not eating it. He thought, so Rav Ashi thought, by putting a little bit in his mouth, that he should taste it without swallowing it, the craving will go down. And obviously, the Gemara seems to imply that Marzutra was fine afterwards. But again, Al Pidin, even if he would needed to, he would be able to eat mamash tray for meat. Because his life in danger. Huh?
Makes a new reality show.
The story? Yeah.
Never heard of somebody dying from
From craving?
Yeah.
Well, that the Gemara says and Shulchan Aruch says about it. But now the Gemara tells another doozy story. Okay? There's a certain Roman guy, not a Jew. Damar Le'elitza said to a woman, probably also not Jewish, Minsa Belim, marry me. This Roman guy met this woman, he said, will you marry me? Amar Le'elitza, she said, Loi, I'm not interested in marrying you. What did he do? He went and got food to create a craving in her to force her to want to marry him.
Really?
Knows what happened. Azul Aiser Rimoni. It seems like that both of them were goyim because they could marry him anyway. Aiser Rimoni. He went and brought pomegranates. Pali, he split them open. Va'ochel kamei. And he sat down in front of the lady and ate the pomegranates. Okay?
Oh, boy.
Komaya ditsanale, all the saliva that accumulated in her mouth, you know, when you see your mouth waters, like they say, caused her discomfort. Okay? She had a craving, as she says, she had a craving, and he wasn't giving her any. Okay, so what happened? Balase. So therefore, she swallowed it. And he continued eating, and he didn't give her any, that her face became bloated, and the skin stretched thin, and became translucent. So, the Seif Amala, so now she's going crazy from this craving, right? So the Seif Amala, so that now he said to her, Imasina Lachmin Zbali, if I heal you, if I give you a pomegranate, will you marry me? Amala, she said, and yes. Azul Aisirimani, so he brought other pomegranates. But Pali, so listen what he did. He said, if I get you pomegranate, you'll marry me? She said, yes. What did he do? He went and bought more pomegranates. He ate it, split them open, ate before her. Okay? And he still didn't give her. Amalai said to the woman, Komaya de tzadaloch, all the saliva that you were having in your mouth, instead of swallowing it, spit it out. Adenav kamine kuhutza yuruka. To such an extent, it's like green palm leaf came out of her mouth, and she became healed. It's interesting. He didn't give her more pomegranate. He undid the craving. He said, what do you need to do? Instead of swallowing the saliva, spit it out. And it kept coming out until it became green. And then she was healed from the silver. Yeah.
So did she marry him or not? It would be better for her to die
she
than
promised
marry
him,
this guy.
Huh?
You know, she could have just gone out by her own pomegranate. So.
They had no money.
Torture.
Just give her a lollipop.
I guess, you know, we take it for granted. There were no restaurants like we have today back then. You know, maybe it was hard.
There was no such thing as caterers or restaurants. Remember, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Why do you give a woman 12 months to get ready for marriage? You could make a phone call to a caterer and write a check and it's all done. You have to make everything yourself. Right? You wanted to make a gown, you had to make it yourself. You wanted to make the food, you had to make it yourself. Okay.
So it took a year to get all these things together.
Yep.
But people nowadays get married in 6 weeks.
That's long.
You know?
1 week, 2 weeks.
You know, anybody getting married a week after they get engaged?
Why not?
You know anybody like that?
No.
Okay. Best to go to Vegas and...
Well, you don't have to get engaged to get married.
Just get married. Well, she has to go to Mikvah first.
Yeah, Vegas.
Okay, now the Gemara says like this. The Mishnah stated after this, after all these seven jobs, the Mishnah said that what does she do? She does in wool. She has to work in wool. Here. Vayisa Betzemer. One of the seven jobs the wife had to do for the husband is do with wool. So Gemara said, "Bepit tzemet in pishtin like." The Mishnah doesn't say tzemet and pishtin, wool and linen. Yeah, the Mishnah only says she has to work in wool, which means in flax and linen she doesn't have to work, right? Because what does the Mishnah say? One of the jobs the woman has to do to the husband is with tzemet, with the wool, just to weave things or whatever. So Gemara said, "Bepit tzemet in pishtin lai masnisa manihud is a Mishnah go like." Rabbi Yehudi. It must go according to Rabbi Yehudi. Why? The Tanya was taught in the Braisa. Ein kefel le'lamed b'fnei aviv. A husband cannot force his wife to stand before his father to serve him. Because when the husband gets married, the wife has to serve the husband. But the husband, the Braisa says, cannot force his wife to serve his father. And not to serve his son. Okay? And as a wife has to serve the husband. She doesn't have to serve her father-in-law or her husband's child. He cannot force the woman to give straw to the animal or donkey, horse. Okay? Why? Because the wife might come to sin with the animals. Aval kefal eating tavin lefnei bekari, but you can force her to give straw before his cattle. Why? Because cattle, years ago, it's going to happen soon too. People and animals had a lot of intimacies. In fact, the Torah says, leisamet isha lefnei behema. Woman cannot have, a relation with an animal. It's going to happen. They pass gay marriages, next is the... It's going to happen.
Thank you. From San Francisco.
Yeah?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, anyway. So he says like this. Before horse and donkey, a woman can't give food because she might be enticed to have relations with them. But cattle doesn't have a desire to be with them, so we're not afraid. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af ein okay for lasis bepishtan. The husband, these are all things the husband cannot make the wife do, right? So if Yehuda adds, he can't make her work with linen either, with flax. Why not? The working with flax causes bad breath, and it makes the lips swell. Therefore, why? Because they have to wet the thread with the saliva of her mouth, and the moistened flax causes foul odor in the mouth and bloated lips. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds, he can't force a woman to do things that are going to hurt her beauty, whatever. So the Gemara says, Ahani Mili, though, when does Rabbi Yehuda say he can't make her work with linen, with flax? That's only Bekisna Ruma, with Roman flax. Okay? The Gemara means Roman flax. Why? Because it seems the Roman flax was worse. The Roman flax was just worse. Rashi says, no, Rashi doesn't say. Okay, the bottom line is, because that was the Roman flax had that bad quality that you'd have to wet it with your saliva and then your breath would smell and your lips bloated up. So therefore you didn't do it. But therefore the Mishnah says, our Mishnah that says a woman only works with wool and not with linen or flax, must be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because Chacham don't agree with that. Rabbi Yehuda holds a woman can't work, doesn't have to work with that stuff. Ein bepishtin. Okay. Okay, just the next short piece of Gemara. Rav Lazar says no. The first opinion says if she has four maidservants, she sits in the beauty parlor a whole day and does nothing. The Blazer says no. She still has to work. Why? Because Batala, doing nothing, brings you to lewdness. So Amir of Malki, Amir of Ada Barava, Amir of Malki said the name of Ada Barava, Halacha Krabbe Lezer, Halacha Krabbe Lezer. Meaning, not like the Tanakama that says, if she brought in four maidservants, she doesn't have to do any work. The Halacha is no. She has to do minimal work, just to keep her away from sinning, from you know, doing nothing the whole day makes you, as the Mishnah said, pretty gross, brings you to lewdness.
Oh, all right, yeah. Rabbi, have a good week.